this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Julie Eldridge from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'll be reading to you from the Governor Moorhead School Alumni Connection from the winter edition of 2024. So here we go. I'm going to read it exactly as printed. President's Corner by Dr. Ricky Scott. As president of our association, I wish to express to you that I hope that all of you had an excellent holiday season with family and friends. This is the season that we give thanks and demonstrate our love of family and friends. Let us continue to express that love and appreciation for our family and friends as well as towards each other in the GMS family for the upcoming year. I'm excited about 2025 because it gives us an opportunity to continue to have a positive impact in our communities of those who are blind or visually impaired, and the GMS administration, faculty, staff, and students. As noted in previous editions, on July 1st, 2024, GMS formally became under the administration of its own independent board of trustees, on which I serve because of my position as president of our association. This board of trustees has smoothly transitioned into its governance of GMS. It is my firm belief that this board of trustees will advance the education for GMS students well into the future. On another note, our winter meeting will be held on January 25th, 2025, between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. on the GMS campus. As I close, I encourage you to continue to work to advance the work of our association through your membership and service on committees. And here are the committee reports. Education Committee Report by Dr. Ricky Scott. As chairman of the Education Committee of our association, I wish to thank all of the presenters who participated in our informational seminars in 2024. To that end, I wish to report on those who presented at our January 2024 Business and Information Resource Meeting. First, Alan Chase, Chairman of Board of Trustees of GMS, provided a report which detailed its establishment and its purpose in terms of setting policy, the budget, and overall administration of GMS. Second, Cynthia Spate, Director of the Division of Services for the Blind, provided a general update on programs and services provided by the agency. Third, staff from the NC Board of Elections provided a demonstration of accessible voting machines. In addition to the seminars provided at the January meeting, informational seminars were provided at our August general meeting. First, Melvin Diggs, Director of GMS, provided an update on GMS programs and services and the transition to the new Board of Trustees. Second, Gloria Garten, Executive Director, provided information regarding the NC Statewide Independent Living Council, describing its philosophy, programs, and services and centers located in our state. Third, Vicki Preddy, representative of Vonda Pharma, provided information on non-24 sleep disorder and persons with visual impairment or blindness. Our educational programming concluded with a presentation by staff of NC State Board of Elections on different methods available to persons with disabilities, including those who are blind or visually impaired. As I close, I wish to thank all of the presenters, those serving on the committee, and all our association members who work to make what we do a success, and I am looking forward to even more educational seminars to be provided in 2025. Communications Committee Report by Dr. Ricky Scott. Currently, I serve as chairman of our Communications Committee with the primary responsibility of producing our quarterly newsletter. To that end, I report that newsletter has been provided primarily through email. Also, North Carolina Reading Service has provided a podcast of our newsletter. I am happy to announce that the audio podcast of our Alumni Connection is now available on our website at www.gmsaai.org and on NFB Newsline. To access the newsletter through NFB Newsline, you must be a member. To register for NFB Newsline, you must call the North Carolina Accessible Books and Library Services at 919-733-4376 to get registered for NFB Newsline. Otherwise, you can call Newsline at 888-882-1629. The Alumni Connection is under the North Carolina Channel under Option 2. Then select Option 3. Let me know if you have any questions. 919-673-8300. Finance Committee Report. Governor Moorhead School Alumni Association Incorporated. Investment Report. Period 7-1-2024 through 9-30-2024. Account value as of 7-1-2024, $20,646.97. Account value as of September 30th, 2024, $21,371.33. Profit, $724.36. Current holdings as of 9-30-2024. Fidelity Government Money Market, cash, of $16,077.73, current yield 4.97%. Equities, Barrick Gold Corporation, gold 104.731 shares. Cornerstone Strategic Value, CLM, 284.210 shares. Currently pays a monthly dividend of 0.1086 per share and reinvests dividends at a discount. Arbor Realty Trust, ABR, 51.604 shares, pays a quarterly dividend of 43 cents per share. Note, in accordance with our investment plan of funding our investment account with $1,000 each year, I recommend that we move $1,000 from our general fund to our investment money market account for future investment considerations. Respectfully submitted, Tim Snyder, Chairman, Finance Committee. And what follows on this page is what looks like would be some links to web pages. One link is called Informational Articles. The other is called Social Security Column. And then it says Annie Walters, Public Affairs Specialist. Social Security Column, celebrating 89 years of Social Security. For nearly 90 years, Social Security has provided income protection to millions of retirees, people with disabilities, their dependents, and families who've lost a family member who worked and paid Social Security taxes before they died. In addition to paying benefits, we issue millions of Social Security numbers each year, maintain wage records to make sure workers get the benefits they have earned, and much more. The scope of what we do is enormous, and we are proud to serve the American people. Whether providing service online at ssa.gov, over the telephone, or in person, our goal is to help you understand your eligibility for benefits and the best way to apply for them. We also work to make sure our programs, specifically Supplemental Security Income, or SSI, remain accessible to you. SSI provides monthly payments to adults and children with a disability or blindness and to adults age 65 and older who have limited income and resources. This year, we announced that we are expanding SSI eligibility criteria by updating the public assistance household definition, removing food from in-kind support and maintenance, and expanding rental subsidy nationwide. Find more information about SSI at www.ssa.gov/SSI. We are dedicated to protecting the well-being of the people we serve. It is important to us that every person who is eligible for benefits gets them timely and accurately. This is how we help secure today and tomorrow. To learn more about the history of Social Security, visit www.ssa.gov/history. Please share this information with your friends and loved ones who may need it. More on the Social Security column. Social Security installs new kiosks to improve customer check-in process by Annie Walters, Social Security Public Affairs Specialist in Nevada. At Social Security, we strive to make our services more accessible while maintaining your privacy. We installed new kiosks in most of our local offices to make it easier for you to check in and conduct business with us. The kiosks are private, easy to use without assistance, and provide consistent service to our customers. Modifications to earlier screens have improved the check-in process, especially for our customers who are blind or have low vision. Each kiosk is compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA, and includes the following features: accessible keypads, audio headphone jacks, complimentary headphones are available upon request, Braille instructions for how to use the kiosk and report any accessibility issues, built-in thermal printers and ticket dispensers, enhanced 508 compatible check-in software, and touchscreen monitors with privacy filters. These kiosks are just one more way we're improving the customer service experience in our offices. Last year, we began offering Mobile Check-In Express. It allows customers to use their mobile device to scan a QR code at their local office to check in for scheduled and walk-in appointments. By turning on their device's location services and mobile notifications, visitors receive an electronic ticket so they know their place in line, an alert when an employee is ready to help them, information about their interview location, and an invitation to participate in our feedback survey. With our new kiosks and Mobile Check-In Express, our check-in process has never been easier. To learn more about our commitment to accessibility, visit www.ssa.gov/accessibility. Stay Healthy and Independent with Senior Nutrition Programs by Annie Walters, Social Security Public Affairs Specialist in Nevada. Are you eligible for Social Security retirement benefits or already receiving them? Did you know that you can also receive healthy meals and other nutrition services through the National Senior Nutrition Program? Local meal programs in communities across the country are waiting to serve you. As we age, we have different needs, different ways we take care of our health, and different nutrients we need to get from our food. But we don't always have enough healthy food or the desire to prepare or eat a meal. Whether you need more food, healthier food, someone to share a meal with, or better eating habits, a meal program can help. Every day, senior nutrition programs serve almost 1 million meals to people age 60 and older. With home delivery and group meal options, you can get the food you need in a way that works best for you. They can help you avoid missing meals and save you time and money with less shopping and cooking. Local programs serve more than food. They also offer opportunities to connect and socialize. This improves both your mental and physical health, teach you how to create a healthy eating plan. You can learn about healthy food recommendations based on your age, needs, and preferences, and connect you with other resources like homemaker services and transportation to help you stay connected and engaged in your community. It's no surprise that 9 out of 10 participants say they would recommend a senior nutrition program to a friend. We know this service can help create healthy, strong communities where people can thrive at any age. Find a senior nutrition program in your area and help us spread the word to your loved ones, neighbors, and community. For more information on resources for older adults, please visit eldercare.acl.gov/public/index. To learn more about our retirement benefits, please visit www.ssa.gov/retirement. The Senior Nutrition Program is administered by the Administration for Community Living, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. National Savings Day Reminds Us to Plan for the Future by Annie Walters, Social Security Public Affairs Specialist in Nevada. October 12th is National Savings Day. It serves as an important reminder to plan for your financial future. Social Security is a vital part of any financial plan. We have online tools to help you understand your potential benefits and how they fit into your financial future. Regardless of your age, you should periodically review your Social Security statement using your personal My Social Security account at www.ssa.gov/myaccount. Your statement is an easy-to-read summary of the estimated benefits you and your family could receive, including retirement, disability, and survivor's benefits. You should also review your statement annually to confirm your earnings history. The retirement calculator in your personal My Social Security account allows you to check various benefit estimate scenarios based on the age you plan to retire. You can compare the effect different earnings and retirement start dates could have on your future benefit amount. Please let friends and family members know how they can prepare for their financial future by signing in to their secure My Social Security account. If they don't have an account, they can create one at www.ssa.gov/myaccount. Why it's important to tell us about changes when you get Social Security benefits by Annie Walters, Social Security Public Affairs Specialist in Nevada. If you receive Social Security, you can help to make sure we pay you the right benefit each month. You can do that by telling us about relationship or other life changes that could affect your eligibility for retirement, survivors, or disability benefits, or the benefit amount. You and your family may miss out on additional payments you may be due if you don't report changes to us in a timely manner, or you may be overpaid benefits and have to pay us back. So here's what you need to tell us. To make sure you are paid correctly and receive the payments for which you are eligible, let us know right away if you get married or divorced, your spouse or former spouse dies, you become the parent of a child, including an adopted child, the child or stepchild who gets benefits on your record gets married, and the child or stepchild who gets benefits on your record no longer lives with you. Note, we will need the name and address of the person with whom the child is living. How to report changes. We offer several ways to report changes. Call us at 1-800-772-1213, Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or call your local Social Security office, or fax, mail, or deliver your updates to your local office. You can use our office locator at www.ssa.gov/locator to find your local office. If you get retirement, survivors, or disability benefits and need to update your address, phone number, or direct deposit, it's easy to make those changes using your personal My Social Security account at www.ssa.gov/myaccount. Or you can use our automated telephone services at www.ssa.gov/agency/contact/phone. Get the right check in the right amount at the right time by reporting changes right away. Please share this information with those who need it. Magic Touch, How Revolutionary Changes Are Making Braille Better Than Ever by Maddie Thomas. Blind from birth, Graeme Innes can't remember the last time he sat down to read a book in Braille. Instead, he listens to audiobooks. Yet Innes, who is Australia's former Disability Discrimination Commissioner and Vision Australia's first chair, still uses Braille every day. To seeing eyes, Braille reads like an indecipherable Morse code. Invented by Louis Braille in 1824, the 64-character script made up of a matrix of 6 dots, was developed as a means of efficient communication for blind people. By the 2000s, however, the advance of technology led many to believe that Braille would become redundant. Teaching Braille declined, and many vision-impaired young people did not learn it. But Braille has had a revival during the last decade. Technology such as refreshable Braille displays has made the script more portable and adaptable. And increasingly, Braille is being integrated into the community beyond books. For Braille advocates, there's no substitute for Braille when it relates to the literacy and communication skills of the vision impaired. Everything I do is based on Braille, Innes says. I have an Apple Watch. Now, that speaks to me, but I also carry a Braille watch because I don't want the watch speaking to me in certain circumstances, such as when I'm asleep. Displaying the script by raising round-tipped pins up and down on a flat surface, a Braille display is about the size of an iPad mini, but a bit thicker. Innes says the device has been revolutionary since becoming mainstream in the mid-2000s. While technology is an aid, recognition of the importance of Braille for literacy is taking hold. You get to a point in your career, and if you can't write notes in Braille and interact with those notes while fully participating in meetings, you just can't keep progressing, Innes says. Lacking Braille skills is something he says is easily recognizable to those who are blind, with a noticeable difference in the literacy, spelling, and punctuation skills of those who are Braille readers. Complementary, not competing. In Australia, it's estimated that 453,000 people are blind or have low vision, but there are no solid statistics on Braille literacy here. A study conducted by the Royal National Institute of Blind People, or RNIB, in the UK in 2015 found that of the about 350,000 registered blind or vision impaired, 7% use Braille. A report by the National Federation of the Blind in the U.S. in 2009 found that only 10% of blind children learned to read Braille. The report estimated that at the height of its usage after being introduced as a universal code in 1932, 50% of children learned to read and write in Braille. Alongside technology, bringing Braille into a new age and audience, advocacy groups have secured access to Braille in an increasing range of places and products. Recent moves have been made to continue integrating Braille from credit cards to Braille Lego. It is now found on many everyday products, including medication packaging, signage, and there is Braille software installed on Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Amazon devices. In Hong Kong, ferry terminals are known for having tactile maps, and Japan's 10G blocks, or tactile paving, are widespread on many roads and at train stations. In 2016, the city of Sydney installed Braille on 2,100 street signs in the council area, something that Innes said would be a wonderful standard to see everywhere. Mr. Gumpy's Rhino by John Birmingham in Braille from the UK's Clear Vision Library. Vision Australia emphasizes the importance of using Braille, audio, or other technology in tandem as complementary, not competing, ways of accessing information. Recently, a UV printer has provided the charity with opportunities to work with the Art Gallery of NSW, reproducing work from the Archibald Prize as tactile materials to make an environment that is typically guarded by "don't touch" signs more engaging for blind people. It was the first time I went to an art gallery, and I didn't get bored halfway through because either things weren't being described to me adequately or I couldn't touch anything, said Kirsten Busby, a blind proofreader at Vision Australia. I was able to touch the artwork, and I was able to be engaged as a sighted person would be. Bringing people together through experiences is central to UK Library Clear Vision's mission. Since 1985, a small team has been taking conventional children's picture books and adding Braille on a clear plastic sheet bound back into the original book. The result is a story that can be read concurrently by a blind and sighted person. There's nothing that's commercially produced that contains both print and Braille together, and that's a problem, says Alex Britton, director of the Clear Vision Project. If you're a Braille reading adult who's got sighted kids or grandchildren, you can read to them from a Braille book, or from a refreshable Braille display, but that's not exciting for a 3 or 4 year old who wants to watch, see the pictures, and be snuggled up on your lap to turn the pages. Vision Australia is also trying to bridge this gap, this year publishing their own picture book series, Big Visions, about historical Australian figures, which is now a part of their collection in Kooyong, Victoria. The library, which operates in person, online, and by post, has a 45,000 title strong library of DAISY, or Digital Accessible Information System, or talking books, plus more than 8,000 Braille titles, many of which can be downloaded in e-Braille. And it is not only books that are increasingly becoming accessible, but the libraries they are held in. In 2020, the National Library of Australia in Canberra became a Bindi mapped in 2020, allowing those with vision impairment to easily navigate the building and resources via an audio-guided app. For Braille reader Dave Williams, it is those small things that make a big difference, particularly when integrating Braille into the community. I went on a cruise with Royal Caribbean, and they put Braille on their handrails on the staircase, like underneath, so your fingers curled around the handrail, you discovered Braille. And in 2021, after crossing the finish line of London Marathon, Williams found Braille on the medal hung around his neck for the first time. It said, "We run together," and I could read it. It wasn't somebody reading it to me, he says. Being able to do that yourself, I think, is quite powerful. QR codes are ubiquitous in today's world. From stickers and posters to TV advertisements and billboards, these quick scan options have been around for nearly 30 years and are used by almost every company to get people to learn more about a product or service. Companies like Unilever and Coca-Cola are starting to put QR codes at the center of their connected pack strategies. A QR code turns passive product packaging into an always-on digital and direct conversational channel with their end customers, both at point of sale and point of use. But not all QR codes are created equal. The power of accessible QR. According to the World Health Organization, an estimated 2.2 billion people have near or distance vision impairment, and 284 million people are partially sighted, making finding relevant product information in store and at home a significant and everyday challenge. Accessible QR codes can help people who are blind and partially sighted better access product information. By simply adding a series of dots and dashes around one corner of one side of a standard QR code, it gives people who are visually impaired the ability to tap into apps such as VoiceOver Assistance or others that help people better understand the product or service. An accessible QR code also houses the ability for apps featuring an SDK called ZapVision to recognize these same codes from greater distances and use the accessibility features on the device. One code, accessible to everyone. According to a recent article on Zapper.com, accessible QR codes benefit brands by being cost-effective. Minimizing production cost is crucial, and accessible QR codes use only two colors for printing, reducing overall costs significantly. Ease of implementation. Accessible QR codes can be rolled out without any additional effort or space because it is already part of digitized packaging. And little disruption to current brand real estate. Using an accessible QR code keeps packaging simple, streamlined, and fully branded for sighted individuals as well as those who are blind and partially sighted. How do accessible QR codes work? Here's a short video from Zapper that shows how an accessible QR code and a simple iPhone app can help those with visual impairments gain valuable product information. This is a win not only for specialists, but for all. Dare by Robert Parrish. What does it mean to dare? It means taking a chance on something even though you know the risk. With daring comes the understanding that one needs to face their fears. Daring is made easier when you know that there are others who support you. Think about it. Things that we have that benefit our society and the world at large came about because people were willing to step out and even risk their lives. In 1903, the Wright brothers knew that they were taking a chance in flying the first airplane. Yet, many people fly today without even giving it a second thought. Civil rights leaders such as Reverend Martin Luther King and Medgar Evers knew that they could be killed as they worked for the human rights of all. Yet, they gave their lives for this cause. Recently, I went skydiving. Why did I do it? For one thing, it was on my bucket list. There was no better opportunity to accomplish this than when I turned 65. I also did this daring thing to help raise the expectations of people when it comes to those of us who have disabilities. Although I turned 65 on Tuesday, June 25th, 2024, I jumped out of that perfectly good airplane on Saturday, September 21st, 2024. The people of Skydive Raleigh could not have been nicer. Oh, I did sense a little misgivings from some, as there were those who had not experienced being around a blind person. But the staff were as kind as they could be as they guided me through the registration process. Now, for those of you who are wondering if I did this skydiving alone, the answer is no. I had both a confident and caring instructor named John Renfro, who made sure I understood the various commands and cues he would give to me as we jumped in tandem on this venture. When the plane, which was very loud, climbed to 13,500 feet, it was go time. I did as the instructor said as we, strapped together, walked to the edge of the plane. When John reached the count of three, we jumped. As I experienced the cooler air on this September day, I felt like I was flying in slow motion. The clouds that I saw were absolutely beautiful. Even as John gave instructions as, put your goggles on or lift your legs, I teased him about wanting to land on a rough top. When we did land, I felt a great sense of accomplishment. I also felt that I had jumped into the latter part of my life. What will the latter part of my life be like? I have daring things in mind, such as running for city council or writing a book. I feel more daring to take some risks as I accept that there could be mistakes and failures. But just as John and the people at Skydive Raleigh gave me support, I will reach out for the support that I know will be given. Yes, to dare does come with risk. However, when we take some dares, the rewards are so great. And here is an article about Brailler Service and Repair. And this is from Robert Luna, a certified Brailler repair technician. His service fee is $140, and there is a 3-month limited warranty on his work. Refurbished Brailers for $350, and you can talk to him by calling 323-244-3001 or email pintoluna74@gmail.com. That is pintoluna74@gmail.com. Here's a notice about a fundraising activity. Raleigh Wake Council of the Blind fundraiser. Raleigh Wake Council of the Blind is having a fundraiser. Do you like chocolate? Do you like nuts? Do you like helping out nonprofits? Well, here is a way you can do it all. The Raleigh Wake Council of the Blind, a nonprofit organization, is having a fundraiser. When you buy delicious treats from rwcb.terrillynn.com, you will also make a generous donation to the Raleigh Wake Council of the Blind. So please check out rwcb.terrillynn.com often. We thank you for your help. If you want to call, you must call Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The number is 1-800-323-0775. You must tell them you are calling with the Raleigh Wake Council of the Blind. And this is from Lawrence Carter, President of the Rally Wake Council of the Blind, and the internet web address is nccbinfo.org, or phone 919-856-0034. Spread the word. Join GMSAA. Becoming a member of the Alumni Association is easy. Go to www.gmsaai.org and click on Join GMSAAI to fill out the registration form. Print out the form and mail it to us with your $20 annual dues. It's that simple. What is the purpose of GMSAA? 1. To promote goodwill among the blind and deaf communities. 2. To work with the Governor Moorhead School for the betterment of the student body. 3. To provide merit and charitable awards and scholarships to blind and deaf students who are pursuing vocational training or post-secondary education. And 4. To promote and encourage the education of blind and deaf children and adults throughout North Carolina. Who can join GMSAA? Any person who has attended the Governor Moorhead School, any campus of the North Carolina State School for the Blind and Deaf, any school that may be established by the state of North Carolina for the express purpose of educating blind or deaf children, or any person who is interested in helping the association. Coming to a newsstand near you. The next issue of the Alumni Connection will be distributed at the end of March of 2025. The deadline for submission of articles, committee reports, and announcements will be February 22, 2025. Let your voice be heard. Who's on the board of directors? President, Ricky Scott. Vice President, Robert Parrish. Treasurer, Tim Snyder. Secretary, Jonna Simmons. Assistant Secretary, Thelma Crumpler. Lonnie Cunningham, Margaret Carter, Annette Glenn, Janie Garland, Susan Patterson, Carla Smith, and Donnie Best. The Board of Directors meets quarterly. For updated information on meeting agenda items, meeting dates or times, or other information, please contact Dr. Ricky Scott, your president, at 919-673-8300 or RickyScott09@gmail.com. Contribute to the Alumni Connection. The Governor Moorhead School Alumni Association reserves the right to edit, for grammar, content, and formatting, any material submitted for publication in this newsletter. All submissions must include the name of the author. Submissions can be emailed to RickyScott09@gmail.com, and I'll spell that for you, RickyScott09@gmail.com. And that is the end of the newsletter for the Governor Moorhead School Alumni Association, Winter of 2024 edition. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Julie Eldridge, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. The GMS Alumni Association newsletter is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. 832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.